Would you like to live your best life possible, regardless of your imperfections? Discover cutting-edge tools and inspiration to let go of your limitations and expand your life beyond what you've ever imagined. On Imperfect Brilliance, we help you tap into your unique gifts and talents, uncovering and letting your brilliance shine. Join certified facilitators and coaches Betsy McLaughlin and Kathy Williams to delve into different areas of your life, get unstuck, and create the life that is truly possible for you. These joyful ladies have changed their lives by utilizing the tools and techniques they share with you. What if your willingness to acknowledge your brilliance is the catalyst to creating a new reality? When you stop judging you, what else can you create in your life and in the world? Join Kathy and Betsy live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern to create magical and joyous possibilities for an hour of laughs, questions, tips, and more. We are excited to contribute and play with you.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Imperfect Brilliance. My name is Betsy McLaughlin, and I'm here today with my beautiful co-host, Kathy Williams. Hi, Kat.
Hi. Hi, everybody. Hi, Bets.
And we're excited so about
being here on Om Times. And as you can see, we're imperfectly brilliant.
Yes, we're very, very happy to be here on Om Times Radio. And our show today is about living guilt-free. And so we're going to be kind of diving into all the places where guilt, you know, can clog your life and hold you down. And I know for me in the past, I've certainly spent a lot of time looking backwards instead of either focusing on the here and now or looking forward over things I have felt guilty about. So, you know, like how much guilt do you carry from the past? How hard have you been on yourself or felt guilty about something? And even have you spent time trying to get somebody else to feel guilty about something that you have decided that they have done to you? So I know it's going to be an interesting conversation today. And for me and Kathy and I both grew up in with the religion that kind of encouraged guilt. So we're so glad you're here with us today to talk about different ways that we can clear out any guilt that we may have in our lives.
Yeah, and before we dive in and root out a bunch of stuff, just a little bit about us so you know who we are. To preface, both Betsy and I work with the tools of Access Consciousness. They're simple, they're practical, they've changed a lot for both of us, and we're both Access Consciousness certified facilitators. We will use something called the clearing statement. Well, anyway, it's likely we will, and we'll tell you how to get more information on that when we do. And in addition to that, as certified facilitators, we teach classes all over the world. So I'll be in London in June, and you know, we'll tell you our websites where you can find out about playing with us in person. And we're also authors. Both of us have written and been published many, many times. And everything from the book called Relationships Done Easy to books on manifestation and actualization and other things. So you can find us at imperfectbrilliance.com, and that'll give you more information on who we are and what we do. And we would love to hear from you. Honestly, we wouldn't be on the radio if we didn't have listeners like you, and we love to hear your ideas for topics. And they often inform where we go and what we do next. So reach out on Facebook or email imperfectbrilliance@gmail.com, and We'll get back to you if you'd like a response or just put in your two cents. We'd love to hear it. So that's a little bit about us. And like Betsy said, we both have grown up in religions that encouraged bolts, and there are many of those. So we're going to talk a little bit about unwinding those shackles and wherever else we go with this, from family guilt to religious guilt to us, you know, putting guilt on guilt trips on others. And you're welcome again to call in, and we'd love to hear from you right on the radio as well. So, goodness, in fact, guilt was one of those conversations that really made us kind of connect to each other. You know, we met each other in Costa Rica, and we were doing some energy work on each other. We ran bars, and that's one of the elements of access consciousness. And then what happened, Betsy?
Oh, it was so funny because it started kind of, I was cracking a joke about guilt, and we started laughing so hard we couldn't stop. And then we were just doing a bunch of questions and clearings around it and thought, oh my gosh. And it was such an unexpected thing that, and so much fun at the same time. And who knew you could have fun around guilt? For sure.
What? No, you're supposed to be serious, and you have to be serious in order to create a change, don't you?
Oh, well, we might want to warn our listeners then, if they're looking for very serious all the time, that we might not be the the radio show that they're looking for then.
True story.
Right, and how much joy can you infuse even in something that is a heavy subject like guilt? And certainly for me, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, I could be pretty good at both feeling very guilty over different situations, as well as, you know, being pretty good about injecting what I was hoping was guilt on somebody else when I was trying to control the situation. Now, I'm sure you've never, ever done that, Kathy. I'm sure it's just me.
It is just you. No, you know, it's so interesting that guilt is one of those things that we use to try to control people. So we use caring, like, oh, I care about you, so why would you do that? You can't move far away. I care too much about you, right? We use anger as a way of controlling, and then guilt, right? Blame or shaming someone or trying to guilt them into doing things our way.
Yep.
And does that really create more in any given relationship?
Well,
or does it create resentment?
Right, for sure. Like, I look at where I've done that, or where I used to do that a lot, and it was this misplaced fear that I was going to lose the person. Right, so in the decision that I had, that if I didn't use guilt to try to control the situation, they would leave. And so it started out for me, you know, that was a lot of when I would do it myself. And looking back on that, it's like, was any of that even true to begin with? So here I had this mistaken belief that, you know, if I didn't do A plus B, then the person was going to leave me. So because they were going to leave me, then I needed to guilt them into staying. It created this whole scenario was created in my head. So then I had to play out this whole like part in the play that I had written, directed, and started.
And then it sounds like if perhaps you didn't do A plus B, then maybe you would also feel guilty. Right?
Oh,
I
absolutely.
Didn't do it right. I didn't do what I should have done. And should have is one of those words that like kind of immediately can draw our attention. Oh, am I doing guilt here? Right? I should have.
Mm-hmm.
I think life should be different from how it is. I did it wrong. And part of, our desire on Imperfect Brilliance is to help us, instead of looking at all the wrongs, that we had a whole show on this last week, to start looking at, well, what's right about this situation?
Mm-hmm.
What's right about this that I'm not getting? What's the gift here? So if any of the listeners have an item in or a place or a situation in your life in which you're like, oh, geez, I should have done it differently or I shouldn't have said that, look at it and start to ask yourself, okay, so what's right about that?
Well,
or even,
Kathy,
what's the
I love that question. Thank you. I'm sorry. I thought you were done. So when you're asking the question, like, what is right about this, what is that opening up as a different possibility?
Yeah, it's like it's shining the flashlight of your awareness in a different direction rather than at what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong. Oh, let's look from a different point of view. And a different perspective can change everything.
Well, it totally can. And the other thing that I would like to say is when we're talking here, we talk a lot about asking questions. And so when you ask that question, Kathy, what's right about this I'm not getting, are you like expecting an answer?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm really inviting awareness. I'm not trying to get something right. Trying to get something right or wrong, get life right or wrong, keeps us in a constant state of judgment of ourselves and of life as it is. And so what if there isn't a right way or a wrong way? It's just everything is constantly giving us new awareness. Oh, when I chose this, it created this. When I said that, it created that. Okay, maybe next time I wouldn't choose that again. So instead of, with my kids, instead of saying, well, that was wrong, I ask, what did that create? So when you lied to me, what did that create? When you hit your brother, what did that create? Did that really create what you would like to create? Because all of it is feedback. Yeah, sometimes it does.
Well, and even, having those questions and teaching a child this, what a gift. Instead of constantly being heard, that they're wrong, that it's, it's only this way, and they are taken out of the equation when all your, and for any of us, not just children, like when you're told you're wrong, there's no discussion, right? There's judgment, as you talked about before. And with, especially though, I love that you're asking your sons these questions to engage them in what's going on and be like, oh, well, what else could you have chosen or what else is possible here instead of, what you did choose? And so you're in the trenches, so to speak, with your children. And so when you ask these questions, what then happens?
Oh, goodness. I mean, sometimes they will say no. You know, it didn't create what they would like to. Sometimes they, you know, and the other question I ask, would you choose that again? Like, mm-hmm. because I think sometimes we think that what guilt will bring us is a change. Like, oh, well, I shouldn't have done it that way, you know, so next time I'll do it this way. And yes, we can learn from the past and we get information from our mm-hmm. choices, but we don't have to carry this heaviness with us and keep looking back as though I should have done it differently. It's like, okay, I did this how I did it, and I got information from that. Would I choose it next time? Probably not, you know? But let me not make myself or make this situation wrong. Let me just gather the information I gathered and go forward. And if I need to say, I'm sorry, you know, if I need to say you were right, then let me say that, but not carry around a bag of heaviness. And in fact, you know, we'll be going to break in just a moment. But when we get back from the break, we can really talk about the distraction that guilt can be from creation. So for my kids, you know, I mean, they're still feeling it out. Sometimes they would probably choose to hit their brother. And sometimes, no, they got the feedback that that wasn't a great idea. So we'll be back in just a moment, and we'll talk about guilt as a distraction. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Imperfect Brilliance.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Imperfect Brilliance. And today we are talking about guilt. And right before the break, Kathy was starting to talk a little bit about, you know, how guilt can be used as a distraction. And again, I love this conversation that we're having today because it's really a different way to look at it. And it's certainly different from our upbringing where, you know, we were always having to repent and ask for forgiveness, and it was used in such a way that, and I'm not saying not to ask for forgiveness, but it was in many cases, like, how much did even my parents use guilt as a way to get me to do what they wanted me to do? So, and you were talking a little bit about distraction, Kathy. So how is guilt used as a distraction?
Oh, good. Goodness. you know, anytime we're not being present in our life, we're distracting ourselves. So can you be present and have guilt simultaneously? Or does guilt require, you know, constantly looking back? And does that allow you to be present?
Great question. And, you know, you had talked a little bit earlier about shoulda, you know, and I was thinking, like, shoulda, woulda, coulda, right? And none of those are keeping you, like, present and in the moment and really, like, aware of what's going on. So when you're distracted, I kind of sometimes liken it, and it's coming in again. You listeners will learn that I'm a very visual person. So as I talk, a lot of times I actually will see pictures. And I started to see, like, a dog chasing its tail. So when you're distracted with the emotion of guilt, you're distracted from the present moment. And
yes,
in that distraction, right, in that distraction, what are you not creating with your life?
Exactly. And what are you creating with your life?
Mm-hmm.
Or destroying.
Right.
Yeah. It's great. Fascinating. I love your visual there. And the whole idea of guilt is like, if I should have done it differently, well, in this present moment, can you correct what you did? No. You can't change that action. You know, you can learn from it going forward or take your awareness forward, but by dwelling on something, is that actually creating something better or something greater? And so when you look at a situation in which there is guilt, you know, you can look at it and as Betsy said, we ask a lot of questions on this show. And so it's like, okay, what can I choose now to create something greater out of this situation? What else is possible with this? And as we mentioned the question, you know, what's right about this that I haven't acknowledged or that I'm not getting?
Mm-hmm.
And that can start to, yes.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, that can just start to shift and shape your outlook and into a different, more useful direction.
Yes, I love that. And apologies, there's a little bit of a delay sometimes, so I thought Kathy was done talking. I'm not trying to talk over her.
You don't want to feel guilty about that,
know.
Do you?
I certainly do not. Oh, my goodness. And, you know, so the question that really, like, resonated was, like, you know, how can I create greater from everything that occurs, right? Everything that happens in your life. So if you're asking the question, you know, how can this be greater? How can I create greater from this? That's really opening the door for other possibilities. And it's not doing the blame or the shame or the regret or the guilt, which they're all kind of like close cousins, right? Because there's usually more than one of those going on. And so when you're not blaming yourself or someone else, or you're not feeling guilty about it, and you're in the space of asking questions and being present with no matter what occurred, how can this be greater? Whether it was something that you did or somebody else did, how can this be greater? And what can I contribute to the situation to change it with ease right away?
I like that, inviting ease. You know, how often do we think, or have we been entrained to believe that change is difficult or requires hard work? And with that question, you're inviting ease in. And that, that almost seems the opposite of guilt. You know, I was working with a client today who happens to be an Episcopal priest. Sorry, my words today. And she said, oh, the topic of guilt, that's perfect in time for Lent. You know, and I thought, oh, wow.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So even just thinking of that in this moment brings a kind of heaviness. There's a kind of sense that you're wrong, you're a bad person, and therefore you need to repent and make up for everything that you've been doing wrong. Wow. Yeah. And so everywhere that any of us have taken that on and believed that to be true, I'm going to use the clearing statement here. Will you destroy and uncreate it all? Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine shorts, boys and beyonds. And the clearing statement is energetic. So if the words don't make sense, that's all right. It's kind of like this magic wand that's designed to bring up energies and then clear them away. And it bypasses the logical mind, you know, because if the logical mind could have solved all the things that are not working in your life, wouldn't it have already? So this goes to the energy.
Yes. And you don't have to remember the words either. It's just, you can even just say that, just bringing up the energy of it. You can say, oh, that weird stuff that Betsy and Kathy talk about, it really doesn't matter. We just know for us that it works. We've both been, playing with the tools and the questions for about 5.5 years now. And what it has created and contributed to our lives is priceless. So that is why we would really desire to share this with you and see if it, you know, if it's light for you. And I know when I first heard the clearing statement, I was really kind of in resistance to it. And I thought, that is just the weirdest thing ever. And I don't understand how it could. I went to my brain trying to figure it out, and it didn't make sense. So I was really resistant to whether or not it would work. And then I thought, you know what? I'm seeing people all around me getting happier and embracing change. And what I've been doing hasn't really been working all that great. So I was willing to give it a chance. And so in that willingness to give it a chance, things really started shifting dynamically for me. So that's why we would like to share that with you guys.
And
so Kathy, yes, go ahead.
The website where you can, if your logical mind like, I know I need to know more about how this works, you can go to theclearingstatement.com. Easy, theclearingstatement.com.
Easy peasy. And so, you know, you talked a little bit earlier, too, about like the heaviness that guilt and these emotions can bring up. And, you know, one of the things that for me, I was so joyful to realize that I don't have to continue carrying it around. Like the heavy, you know, heavy overcoat of layers and layers and layers and layers of guilt and shame and regret. And I can just be like, no, I don't have to choose that anymore. I can choose something different. I can ask questions. I can see what else is totally possible here, where before in the heaviness and the decisions that there really was no other way for this to be, because I had decided that there was no other way for it to be, then I pretty much had slammed all the doors and windows shut and nailed them, you know, with nail guns. That, okay, this is the way it's going to be, and it's always got to be this way. It's always going to be hard. It's always, you know, always, always, always. And my list of conclusions was probably hundreds of miles long. So for me, I'm just so grateful that there are questions you can ask that change things so quickly.
Yes. Questions and even recognizing that, oh, okay, when you're doing guilt, it's basically just a stream of thoughts in a certain direction. And you can look at it and be like, oh, wow, these are just thoughts. You know, they don't, they're not more powerful than you are. They're just like clouds. And what do clouds do? The nature of clouds is to pass. And so the nature of the thoughts is to pass as well, if you don't get too wrapped up in them. And even then, they'll pass at some point. So it's like, oh, well, this is just a thought. I'm going to go turn my thoughts in a different direction, a more fun direction. In Access, we also have this tool called Interesting Point of View. So interesting point of view, I have this point of view, I should have done it differently. Interesting point of view, I have this point of view, I was so wrong or bad or whatever it may be. Interesting point of view that the other person thinks I should have done it in a different way. Wow. You know, and again, what gift is in the situation? You know, I keep thinking of my friend's mother, and I don't actually know her, but she, being a Jewish mother, he said, like, she loved to guilt him into things, and guilt was one of her master tools that she would use. And he said, Kathy, it taught me to be really psychic. Okay, why is that? Well, that doesn't make sense necessarily, but he would have to anticipate what she would be upset about this time, what she would, you know, have her claws in now. And so he became really aware, and he would always be able to come up with some joke to deflect it. So not only did her gift and blame and all of that, you know, contribute to him being more aware and more psychic, it also helped him become really funny, you know, because he had to develop these jokes or a way to deflect that guilt. So it's like, what gift is present in this? And I know we've mentioned that before, but finding the gratitude, finding the place where you can be appreciative will change so much and create much more ability to be present.
And, you know, it's really something when you stop to think about what you just shared with us, his realizations of theirs, right? The question we asked at the one pretty much at the beginning, what is the gift in all of this? And that he was able to see what the gift was for him, that what it contributed to his life by, he's like, I had to become really psychic. So he tapped into his awareness, right? So that's a gift that he's acknowledging that he developed because of trying to anticipate moods and offset where it might go.
Yeah. Yeah, he said, you know, she was the Jewish mother of all Jewish mothers.
Isn't that something? Right, yeah. And there's so many different religions where, or ethnicities, where guilt is a very common denominator. And so I wonder, like, if that was not the common denominator, what would be possible?
Yeah, where have we mixed truths in religion with lies? You know, where have we mixed really useful things with, you know, not so useful things? Seems like there's a lot of that that goes on. Yeah. And so what if we could take all the useful parts and let go of the rest and say, okay, you know, that is just also one person or one organization's point of view. It's not equivocally the right way to be or equivocally right. It's just a point of view. A perspective.
And as we asked earlier, and it's asking to be repeated again, what if there is no right? And what if there is no wrong? What?
Yeah. You know, when we have a show, you can access it via iTunes, that is called that, something like, you know, what if, oh, I don't know the exact name, but you can find it in iTunes. And thank you so much, everyone, for being here on Imperfect Brilliance, and we'll be back in just a moment. Again, we love to hear from you, and please feel free to reach out.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
My name is Meera Batra, and this is How I Live United. Many families have come to America for a better life. I advocate for these families with United Way. United Way empowers them to see opportunities available. We help them get involved with their kids, schools, and network within the community. My name is Meera Batra. I help families see opportunity and succeed. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hi. Welcome back to Imperfect Brilliance, everyone. It's Kathy here with Betsy, and we are talking about guilt. And before we rejoin the conversation, Betsy, do you want to talk about our class that's coming up?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're diving into a four-week telecall series on this subject about guilt. There are so many different areas that people feel guilty about, and we're really excited to invite you to come play with us on that. And it starts, the first call will be Monday, March 26th, and we have that information on our Facebook page, Imperfect Brilliance, as well as our website, imperfectbrilliance.com. So it's easy to find us. We try to keep that name consistent throughout, and we would love for you guys to join in and play. And how much guilt can we free up and get rid of in this four week telecall series?
Wonderful, thank you, Betsy. And mm-hmm. I have a Radical Abundance free challenge coming up. If you'd like more abundance in your life, you can find out about that at iotransformation.com/abundance. And it's totally free and will be a lot of fun. So, Betsy, one thing that I'm kind of hearing is, oh, well, that's all fine and good what you've said about being grateful and creating greater, but you don't understand. This thing that I did is just so awful. You know, like, I'm still carrying guilt from it. And it's so, what would you say to the people who are out there thinking that, you know, okay, for the small stuff, I get being grateful, but what I did was just horrible and I shouldn't have done it. What now?
Well, you know, and even in that question, there's still a lot of guilt, right? So would you be, right? And my question would be, you know, there's quite a few we could ask, but one of them is, you know, are you ready to try something different?
Oh, I really like that question.
Yeah, because how has the guilt worked for you in your life? And again, right, like for me, it certainly held me back. It kept, as we talked earlier, kept me distracted, and it kept me from really choosing to be everything that I can be, as I was beating myself up over different things that I've done. And you can choose to hold yourself hostage with guilt forever and ever, or you could choose to, like, maybe release, even if you're willing to release 5% of the bondage of guilt that you have placed on yourself, what would that change?
You know, when you were talking about that, it reminded me, insanity is the same thing, doing the same thing over and over again. It's like, is that actually changing the situation that happened,
right,
in the past that you're so guilty about? Is the presence of guilt changing that in any useful way, or is it just dipping you back into the muck and mire again?
Right.
And so you know, dipping back into the muck and mire is not making anything better. And when we shift our perspective and we're willing, and maybe even being willing to do whatever it takes. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to create something greater from this situation. And that could be, again, telling someone that you're wrong and that at least in their eyes, you are wrong, or maybe even in your own eyes, you are wrong. And to me, I've had to practice being wrong because for so long I wanted to be right and defend my position. And it's like,
yes,
when we don't have to be right anymore, it takes much less effort and energy. And you don't have to struggle because it's like, oh, okay, if I'm wrong in someone's eyes, so be it. That's all right. It's, again, just a perspective. And it's so freeing. That alone can help us, you know, become much more present in our lives, where it's like, no need to defend and push for your point of view and be right, and no defending against being wrong. Just, okay, how someone sees me is how they see me. And what kindness can I choose for both of us now?
And, you know, I know that as you were speaking, I just kept thinking about how much time I spent beating myself up.
Ooh, yes.
right? Not,
yeah, that's
know.
A fun and, hobby, and, isn't it?
Well, I was really good at it.
Yeah. Yeah. A professional,
right?
Huh?
What was total professional. And, you know, it obviously served a purpose for me at that point in my life, as well as I didn't know that there was something else possible. And I was stuck in that quicksand of it. And, you know, it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And so now knowing that, hey, you know, are there things that I wish that I had done differently? Absolutely. You know, like even now, I still do things that I'm like, oh, that, you know, I kind of like, oops, maybe I shouldn't have done that. But I don't spend time beating myself up. I will look at those situations, right? And if a conversation is required, I absolutely will go and have that conversation and ask a lot of questions and see what else is possible to change whatever is, if there's something that is required. And the freedom that it has given me by not being in that 24/7 loop of guilt and recrimination and guilt and recrimination and guilt and blame and guilt and recrimination and piling higher and higher and higher, is it's just like that coat that I was talking about has been lifted off of my shoulders. Do I still sometimes slip into it? Sure. And then I'm like, oh, wait a minute. What am I doing here? You have these questions now. You have different possibilities. And I will choose that. And it, the ease that that gives me in my life is really, it's immeasurable. And the calm and the peace that comes with that, I'm so grateful for. So, so grateful for.
I love that you brought in the elements of calm and peace, because, you know, those are always available. It's our surface level thinking that distracts us from those, or takes us away, or projects into the future about, you know, fear and anxiety and worry and all of that. And when we're not identifying with those surface level thoughts, it's like there is a sense of spaciousness. There is a sense of peace available that, you know, when we're not feeling that sense of peace, we can take a look at, okay, well, where is my head? And if I would let those thoughts float away by like clouds, knowing that, you know, they'll go, then something else is available right underneath that. It's not far away.
Oh, totally, totally, totally. And, you know, it seems that for me, the more peace and calm and joy I have in my life, the more I desire, you know, like I just desire more and more of that. And today was kind of an intense day. And as we're just talking about peace and calm, my whole body is kind of going, oh, it's relaxing. And, you know, what gift is it for us and our bodies to actively choose to have that peace in our life?
You mean we don't have to constantly run on adrenaline?
Oh, goodness.
You know,
well, you can, and it's all a choice, right?
There you go. Yeah. I was listening to Robin Sharma the other day, and if you don't know who he is, he is the author of The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari, which is such a catching title.
What a cute name.
and he works with a lot of CEOs of Nike, of giant corporations. And he said, you know, one of the things that I really suggest people do first thing in the morning is, I'll tell you the three things he suggests. One is exercise. He says that that changes the cortisol levels. It allows you to, sweat a little bit and changes your brain chemistry, the serotonin and dopamine levels. And then gratitude journal. Because gratitude, again, we have this negativity bias in our mind where we're looking for what's wrong. If there's nothing currently wrong in our life, we'll look to the past. We'll look to what's scary that might come in the future, right? That's just the inherent bias of the mind of people, you know, having been out on the savannah, thousands of years ago. You have to look for what might be the threat. So a gratitude journal, again, getting the serotonin levels changed, which is what antidepressants do. So he suggests exercise, gratitude, and then for 20 minutes each, and then learn something for 20 minutes. And if you're like me, you'll just put on a podcast or an audiobook or something and do your exercise and your learning at the very same time. And, because if you're constantly expanding your life, you're going to be a lifelong learner. So, for that edge in your business or your life, turning us on or turning, on Robin or something like that. And really, first thing in the morning, instead of going to email or, because that sets the stage for your day to be greater, not just reacting to everyone else's desires and requests and demands of you. And I've been doing that, and it's tremendous. It really does get your mind looking for the gratitude and continues throughout the day, not just for those 20 minutes in the morning.
Totally. And, my suspicion is that people listening to this wonderful radio station are looking for the things that we're talking about, to expand their lives, to have more consciousness, to be more centered, to have peace, to have ease, to have joy. And the things that you just shared, I love it. Thank you so much for bringing that in.
You're welcome. It's made such a huge difference in my life because now instead of seeing, so-and-so left this on the counter, I see, I'm so glad they cleaned up the counter. All I have to do is put this away. It's a different perspective. Yeah. And that's what we're inviting with the guilt too. It's like, and we can do a clearing of, because guilt, the surface level situation that you're seeing with the guilt may not actually be the root of that guilt. And so when you're having guilt, you can say, okay, destroy and uncreate everything holding this guilt in place. And then you can do the clearing statement. Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine shorts, boys and beyonds. Because so often, what we're seeing right now and what we're looking at and trying to change might not actually be the root of the issue, which is a really great place to use the clearing statement. Mm-hmm. Anything to add to that, Bets?
Yes, even just saying like that destroying and uncreating everything that I am doing to hold this in place is a great for me, like, wow, I love that. And how many different places am I still doing that? Okay, well, let's eliminate that from in being and in my energy, and like, let's just say goodbye to it all. So that's a little bit of a different way of explaining what we do by that clearing statement. Or you can say, like pock and pod, or you don't have to say the clearing statement to have that. Like whatever works for you guys. And that's one of the things that, what works for you, what's light and juicy for you, try it and see what happens.
I used to have these students who said pock and pot and poof. It was so cute.
That's very cute. I love it. Yeah, and you know what? I've seen little kids running around, and they're going, Pocket Pod. And, you know, it's just so, they get it. Like, kids get it so much faster than adults, right? They don't hold on to things the way we do. So what would it take for us to be like children and not feel like we have to hold on to everything that we have decided is wrong about us or others?
Yes, I'm so glad you brought that in, because in my notes for today's show, I had little kids, because little kids don't dwell forever on something they did. You know, it's just like, oh, okay, what do I choose now? What do I choose now?
Yeah.
What do I choose now? Or, oh, he hit me, you know, last week. No, it's like, now we're friends. So how much can we be like that?
A lot. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Perfect, brilliant. Yay!
Find us on iTunes or SoundCloud, and we'll be back here next Tuesday, same time, same place. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Aloha.
Bye-bye.